Group. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm here in South Carolina, Eastern Standard Time. And I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you for the people that asked me to join this group. And there is a solution. I was asked to speak on the chapter in the big book, A Vision for You. And that is such an inspiring, positive chapter. And it's a wonderful chapter to be able to share my experience on. And interestingly enough, I recently found out that this chapter was going to be in the beginning of the book, in the front part of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, but they placed it at the end in the final 164 pages. And I just want to share with you a little bit about my background as a compulsive overeater. I've been recovered since January of 2016, and I truly did not believe it was possible to recover from this disease. I'm not cured. I will always have an allergy of the body, but I am not bodily and mentally in anguish and in pain like I had been for so many years. But if I were to stop doing these steps and break my abstinence with my alcoholic ingredients or behaviors, I would be off and running again. But it is based on my spiritual condition, my recovery. And that's really what this chapter is about, A Vision for You, because it talks about, it says, being dry at the moment. The person says, I don't miss it at all, feel better, look better. But then it says that they would do anything to be able to take a few drinks and get away with it. And that's really where I was when I came to OA. I did not believe it was possible to have recovery from this disease. You know, it's interesting because the Big Book talks about permanent recovery. It talks about that in the foreword to the second edition. Dr. Bob talks about, Bill and Dr. Bob talk about having permanent recovery. And I remember I laughed when I read that. I thought, that's ridiculous. There's no way to have permanent recovery. So when I came to an OA meeting and I started hearing people introduce themselves as recovered, I thought, how on earth do you do that? How do you stay abstinent? When I'm abstinent, I want to put my fist through the wall. I want to take someone's head off. Like, I don't understand how you can be abstinent and be happy. So they explained to me that there are 12 steps that will treat the condition. See, I used to think that when I'm abstinent, I'm recovered. And that's why I just kept thinking, I've got to get abstinent. But how on earth do you stay abstinent? That was my whole problem. I could get abstinent for a period of time, but I could never stay abstinent. So my first experience of losing control of the food, I mean, I've always been obsessed with volume and large amounts of food, but I was able to manage it with compulsive exercise and compulsive dieting. But something happened to me when I got into my early, almost my mid-20s, where I experienced times of uncontrollable binge eating and I could not stop. And it was so scary for me. And I even went to a treatment center. And I was so grateful to be in that facility. And that was in 1987. And I was given a food plan. And the food plan eliminated all my alcoholic ingredients. So I thought, I've got this. This is it. I just need this food plan. And I worshiped the food plan. But when I left that facility, my mind started, you know, and the Big Book teaches me that my mind is the greater aspect of this problem. So I didn't understand that I'm a ticking time bomb, that the longer I stay abstinent only, and this is, of course, if I'm a real compulsive overeater of the type that the Big Book is written for, it's just a matter of time that my mind is going to take me right back into those foods and those behaviors. And that's what happened to me. I had an extended period of what I call white knuckle abstinence. And you know what? Friends and family, they were probably behind my back throwing candy bars at me because I was so grouchy and so irritable and miserable. And I was like that for a few years because I had a white knuckle abstinence for a few years. I didn't experience the spiritual awakening. And that's what this chapter is about. You know, it talks about having a sufficient substitute. Now, they talk a lot about the fellowship, and the fellowship is amazing. It's wonderful to meet people that are like me, but then in whom the problem has been solved. Sponsors, you know, it's amazing to meet sponsors that were just like me, but they're not like me anymore. They've had a spiritual awakening. They've gone through the steps. And they've done it in a state of abstinence, which is what the big book teaches us to do in the doctor's opinion. And they've had a spiritual awakening, and they were able to share with me how to go through these steps. But the other aspect that's so amazing that's talked about in this chapter is the spiritual awakening and the personality change. It talks about being able to rediscover life, and that the best years of my life are before me. And that's what I've experienced in these past 7 years. You know, food truly numbed me, and I really didn't know how sick I had become until I started really getting recovered. And that can still be there for me if I stop doing this work. You know, it talks about the practical answer is that these things have happened to us, and they can happen for you. And then it says, should you wish them above all else? And what that says to me is that I can't try and fit my life into OA. Wait a minute, I get that confused. I try to fit OA into my life. I tried to make OA fit into my life. Like, my life was the focus. And that's really why I had a hard time for many years. I had to fit my life into OA. You know, when I left that treatment facility in 1987, I had 5 years of a white knuckle abstinence. I don't even know if I was truly abstinent, but it was a white knuckle, whatever it was at that time. And then I picked up my alcoholic foods, and for 24 years, I wandered around baffled and confused and irritable. I would say the most difficult aspect of this disease for me is the spiritual and emotional instability, lack of being sober, and just suffering like that, suffering. Knowing that, well, I could have a binge on the weekend and that'll take the edge off. And then, of course, my binges started filling up during the week as well, where they became closer and closer together. And by the time I came to an OA meeting that was to become my home group, which is called A Vision for You, it's a phone meeting, I came to that meeting in November of 2015, and I started listening to that phone meeting, and I started hearing something I had never heard before, because I really didn't have experience with OA. I started hearing people introduce themselves as recovered compulsive overeaters, and they were happy. So I became a member of that group. I introduced myself as a newcomer. I got a sponsor. I started working with her in January of 2016. So my abstinence is January of 2016. I got recovered in April of 2016. It took me about 12 weeks to go through the steps with her in a state of abstinence. And it's been such an amazing experience, but I don't take it lightly because I still am a compulsive overeater. And that disease has continued to progress over the years, and I need this chapter, what this chapter of Vision for You talks to me about, which is, here it goes, it says, you will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. I didn't feel like I had anything to offer. I only knew how to take. And also, like, I didn't really want to offer anything for you. I was so consumed with myself. That selfishness is really the root of my problem. You know, it really wasn't even about the food. That was the whole amazing thing. Food was my solution. I thought food was my problem. I love the name of this convention. There is a solution. The solution is a personality change because the problem is me. But I can't get in touch with that stuff while I'm in the food, while I'm anesthetized with the food. I feel like I'm learning things for the first time that I never really understood, that I didn't really want to understand. Things like delayed gratification, not getting my way, tolerance, patience, letting people know who I really am and letting myself know who really they are. I've been married, it'll be 30 years. My husband has known me so much of that time as an untreated compulsive overeater. And I thought for so long that the problem was him, that the problem was my childhood, that the problem was just, you name it. Coming in here and going through this process of the big book, the 12 steps, in a state of abstinence has been difficult. It's been really difficult. I remember when I started working with my sponsor, she told me it's not going to be easy, that it's really hard. And you know what? That's true. They always say it's simple, but not easy. And that is true. So let me look down at the chapter. I have some things highlighted here. Bill, in this chapter, the co-founder of AA, goes away to a work meeting in Ohio, and he's in the hotel, and the work meeting falls apart, and a lawsuit gets involved. He was really counting on this meeting becoming a success, and it fell apart, and the idea of a drink comes to his mind. So what does he do? He starts to think, you know, maybe I could go in there and sit there and have a ginger ale and maybe just enjoy some company. He realizes he's on thin ice. So the thought comes to his mind. It says his sanity returned. You know, that's my higher power. My higher power is sanity. So he gets the notion, I need to help another alcoholic. So he picks up the phone, he goes through a series of things, he meets Dr. Bob, the other co-founder that was to become the co-founder. You know what? Bill was talking with Dr. Bob to save his life. That's with what I do. I work with others to save my life. It is saving my life. Doing this is helping me so much. Whether or not someone gets something out of it, I hope and pray, you know, that someone does. But I work with others. I share with others. I put my number under my name. I'm on WhatsApp. I'm happy to work with other women. They don't always get it. You know, oftentimes they don't. But I'm still here, you know, and that's what this chapter is about. It's a vision for you. It's a vision of life that's not all about me. And it's a happy way of life. So let me share some more from this chapter. It says, I promised the interpreter I wasn't going to do that, so I won't quote a page and everything, but it talks about a spiritual experience he conceded was absolutely necessary. But the price seemed high upon the basis suggested. So what that's saying to me is that, and I love that because there's another part of the big book, I think it's in More About Alcoholism, where they're working with someone that's been a chronic relapser and they go through all of the explanation of the steps and the man says, wow, that's like a really tough call to make. And, you know, that's really what the steps are. It is tough. It has to produce a change. The same mind that brought me into the rooms as a compulsive overeater, I can't keep that same I can't keep that same mind. I have to have a total change. But I did highlight something here, and it says he would do anything but that. So he's referring to the amends process, and it's like, I want an easier, softer way. I always want an easier, softer way. It says he saw that he would have to face his problem squarely, that God might have give him mastery. So I can't take the easier, softer way. But, you know, there are so many things in this chapter. It talks about visioning the great reality, their loving and all-powerful creator. That is the relationship that I have with my higher power that is so, so valuable and important to me today. And then it talks about no one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially. If he means business, that's required. I have to be ready to be done for good and all. I have to be out of ideas. If I have some notion that, well, I haven't tried this plan, I haven't tried that, I think that's what happened to me when I came in here. I heard what my sponsor had, and I wanted what she had, and I just wanted to do what she said she did. And I didn't want to question it. I didn't want to question it. You know, the last part of this chapter talks about, it says here, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. So it's really about becoming ultimately dependent on my creator, my higher power. That's really what the ultimate solution is. And the answers are here in this big book and through these 12 steps. I needed to have the plan of recovery laid out for me. You've got to tell me how to do this. Please don't just say to me, come to a lot of meetings. That's great. All the tools are so valuable. They support me while I go through the steps. But I need to know that I can have a transformation through this step process and be different and not white knuckle my abstinence. Today, abstinence I do comfortably and easily through this process of the spiritual awakening through the 12 steps. And I do it joyfully. It's not like when I hit my pillow at night, I say, oh, thank God I got through that day. And then in the morning, it's, how am I going to do this? No, there is an energy, a life flowing through me. I am so grateful for the abstinence that I have. It's a spiritual practice. I worshiped the food before. That was my higher power. What you thought of me was like my higher power. Today, it's, am I growing in the image and likeness that my higher power would have me grow in? What I did a year ago, I can't keep doing today. I have to keep growing in that spiritual development. It is about that conscious relationship with my higher power that is so important. But it started with the abstinence. It started working with someone that has done this work, that has an understanding of how to present to me, how to go through the steps, through the big book, how to utilize the tools. I was taught to ask the prospective sponsor, have you gone through these 12 steps in a state of abstinence? Have you had a spiritual awakening? Do you have neutrality with the food? How long did it take you to go through this work? Because more than likely, that's how long it's going to take me. I want to be able to do it pretty quickly. And that's what happened for me. I did it in 12 weeks. Some people say that's too long. It wasn't like we did a step a week. It just worked out that it was 12 weeks, but I did do it quickly. And today I live in steps 10, 11, and 12. I feel like this was kind of a boring talk. I hope it wasn't. I didn't really plan it. I kept wanting to plan it, but I kept feeling my higher power say, just go with it. And I'll be open to the next portion of this workshop, which I guess is for questions, but I'll leave it up to the moderator now. But thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, for being here, and for everyone that's done service, and for fellow compulsive overeaters walking this path with me. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that share. Wonderful. We're now going to open up to take questions. We ask if you have questions that you please post them into either the Q&A or the chat. And we'll open up for any questions. If you're not familiar with Q&A, you can also post in the chat. We'll just ask that people post their questions in there. Any questions for the speaker that you would like to ask? No such thing as bad questions. I'll start us up. I'll start it off. I'm Claire, grateful compulsive overeater. And since I didn't have to post in the chat, I'll go ahead and ask the question. This is my favorite chapter of the book. How do you personally find that giving service helps you? Like, does it help you maintain your recovery? Does it enhance your recovery? I guess how does that work for you?
Thank you, Claire. That's such a wonderful question. Well, it helps me get out of myself. You know, if I'm not thinking about myself, I'm thinking about what you think of me, and it just my head just operates that way, and it gets me out of myself. It's a joy. It helps me. I do it as a discipline. I do it because I was told to do it. I don't want to ask questions about it. I just do it to be obedient, you know, to follow directions. And it's amazing. I learned so much about being a part of a group and being one of many and giving. You know, a lot of times there's service opportunities behind the scenes where people don't even see us, you know, and doing it anonymously, which is good. It's so good for me to do that. It keeps me grounded and humble. And committed to remembering that getting out of self is key, becoming other focused and God focused, and helping those that are still suffering. I can't say enough about service. I remember I was on a cruise with my husband. We don't go all the time on cruises, but we were on, and we had a wonderful time, opportunity to go on a cruise, and someone from my OA home group texted me. And they said, you know, could you be the newcomer greeter at such and such a time? And it was for right when I was getting back from the cruise. And that was my first cruise I went on in abstinence and recovery. And that gave me like a target. Someone's expecting me to show up, and I want to be there and be okay and not have lost my abstinence and my recovery. So I had to be accountable. It really helped me. It always helps. Thank you.
Could you share again the list of qualities you share and what you've looked for in a sponsor?
Yes, I'm happy to. And of course, it's not in the big book. This was based on my experience when I was looking for a sponsor. The first quality is to ask them if they went through the 12 steps in a state of abstinence. That's what the doctor's opinion tells us, you know, and we have to be off of our substances. Did they have a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps? Do they have neutrality with the food, which are the 10th step promises in the big book, neutrality? How long did it take them to go through the steps? They say, you know, 19 months. So, oh, boy, I don't know if I want to do that. I think that was it. I can't remember if there was anything else, but I think that was it. Maybe what do you expect? You know, how do you work with your sponsees? What are your expectations?
You mentioned spiritual awakening or psychic change. How do you think you changed the most?
Oh, wow. Well, personality change for me, I'm going to start first with the allergy of the body, neutrality with the food. That was a spiritual awakening for me that came where I did not have a white knuckle abstinence. That is a big thing for me. The Dr. Carl Jung, you know, in the big book talks about it when he's discussing with Roland Hazard. I think it's in There Is a Solution, the name of this conference, that ideas and attitudes that were once the driving force are pushed to one side and an entirely new perspective and outlook. That's how it shows itself in me. And that came when I was 3/4 of the way finished with my 9-step amends, doing 10 steps and learning about step 11, and then truly experiencing that when I was in step 12. But I would say also happier and more joyful in life and more accepting. And, you know, before I got recovered, when I was in the food, especially as I got into my 40s and 50s, now I'm in my late 50s. I didn't get recovered until I was in my early 50s. But as I was in my 40s approaching and into my 50s, the mood swings were so horrible, especially when I would have my alcoholic substances and binges and behaviors, that I thought I'm going to have to go to the doctor and get something to level me off. That's all gone away. So I don't feel so unstable and unhinged. I'm not as depressed, moody, irritable. Yeah. Personality change, spiritual awakening. The consciousness with my creator is the biggest thing. I always had a faith in God, my creator. And I was kind of skeptical, like, well, I don't even need to read the chapter We Agnostics. That's what I used to think about myself. But when I read that chapter going through the work, I realized I'm like the biggest agnostic, even though I really wasn't, but I was. I had so many fears. I so many dishonesties that I really wasn't counting on God and relying on God. So that has deepened into an intimate relationship with my creator that is the most important part of my day. It's like oxygen. It is my oxygen. Okay, so I'm finished. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next question is, why is it important to go through the steps quickly?
I'm a ticking time bomb. If I'm truly a compulsive overeater of the type that the big book was written for, a hopeless alcoholic, a hopeless compulsive overeater, the longer I'm abstinent only without that spiritual awakening, it's just a matter of time before my mind drives me right back into the food. So that's why I want to go through the steps. So ultimately, the steps do for me what the food used to do for me.
Thank you. Ah, okay. What pages did you quote from today, please?
Sure. Oops. well, A Vision for You is the chapter I was to talk on. And I went from the first page, which is 151. And this is the 4th edition of the big book, where it talks about being dry at the moment. And that goes over to page 152. And then I also quoted from page 153, where it was love thy neighbor as thyself. And then should you wish them above all else, meaning I have to fit OA into my life. Also on 152, there is a sufficient substitute. I also discussed page 154 where Bill Wilson was thinking of having a drink and he meets Dr. Bob. And then the Great Reality, page 161, I was talking about when the Great Reality, that's where I went off into the whole big long chat about that, the Great Reality, page 161. And then also If He Means Business. And then finally, the last page, 164, where God will constantly disclose more to you and to us.
Thank you. Could you talk about what your amends and step nine process looked like, please?
Oh my goodness, what a big, big thing. Wow. Well, I had some financial amends because I stole money from my father when I worked for him many years ago. And he died, so I needed to find a way to make amends to him. And I do continue to repay that money back to charitable organizations in his name. I wrote a letter to him, and I shared it with my sponsor and some other fellows, and, of course, in prayer. It was through a lot of prayer and wonderful sponsorship that I was able to do my amends. I needed to make amends to a landlord where I broke the lease by lying to him from a business office that I had. That was really scary and hard. Amends to my sister. We don't really have a relationship, but I needed to write a letter to her because she didn't want to take a call or see me. Let's see. My husband, oh, the biggest amends to my husband. And my sponsor encouraged me to make that towards the end because she said the end of my list of amends, because she told me, and it's so true, each time we make an amends, we get more and more unblocked. We can hear and receive direction from our higher power. So by the time you get to those more challenging ones, you'll be so much more open. And it's so true. My father and my husband were the last two amends, and that's actually when I realized, oh my goodness, I'm recovered. I also realized I was recovered when I was sharing with a newcomer. So, but that was an amazing experience. The ninth step promises are phenomenal.
Okay, our next question is, and then we'll, what would you say to someone who is in the PST and wants to attend, get the benefit of a Vision for You meetings? Is there a way? Oh, his Pacific Standard Time. He wants to get the benefits of a Vision for You meetings.
Yeah, that's such a great question. Do you know that they have a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, which would be 7 a.m. for Pacific Standard Time? They also have on their website a phone number you can call that plays the recorded meetings. So the most recent recordings, like, for example, if you called that recording now and hit £0, of course, the directions are on the website, you'll get the meetings that were recorded today. So you can listen that way. You can also listen to the meetings right from the website. They're daily podcasts. So the recorded meetings are right on the website. So if you don't want to call in, you can listen to it from the website. So that's such a great question. Do you want me to share the website of A Vision for You, my home group? Yeah. So the website is www.avision, and then the number 4, and then you.info. And that's the website for A Vision for You, which is an OA meeting. It's a wonderful OA meeting, just a big book study-based meeting.
Someone is asking what, and the next question is, if you could, what is your step 11 routine?
Well, this has become such an important part of my day. In the morning, I get up very, very early, but it's not drudgery because, like I said, it's oxygen for me. I'm giving myself oxygen. So I read spiritual literature. I read recovery literature, and I meditate. I reflect on it. I meditate for 30 minutes. I had to work up to that 30 minutes, but I do meditate for 30 minutes. And I continue reading a lot of literature and meditate and reflect on it in the morning. And I do the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, the 11th step prayer, but I don't always do it in rote, like reading it from the book. I kind of just ask from my heart, you know, what those prayers are saying. And I ask God to direct my thoughts. like what it teaches us in the big book in step 11, divorce my thinking from self-pity, dishonest, and dishonest self-seeking motives, self-pity. Big, big things all through the big book. It's such a big thing, self-pity for me as a compulsive overeater. And I really find asking for that support so important. And that's the morning. And then pausing through the day, anytime I'm disturbed. And then my written nightly review every night. And I do share it with a fellow. And looking at my assets and liabilities, which are character defects and the opposite of those character defects, which I always call like the power column, you know, how God would have me be. So if I was intolerant with someone, God would have me be tolerant. And I reflect on those. So the day I have a call, I check them off and I look, you know, what I did today, you know, as far as my assets and liabilities. If I had any step 10 that I didn't address during the day, I'd do that at night before I go to bed. I do that with a fellow. And of course, sharing with newcomers. So that's it.
Thank you.